Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody here. Good morning online. Can't see you, but glad you joined us. So how are we doing?
Good.
Smell the barbecue coming in?
Yeah.
More on that later. Hey, so I'm pretty proud of my youngest granddaughter. She's going in for her 9-month checkup tomorrow. And she's doing really well. I think her last checkup was at the 6-month mark. And she was, for her weight, she was at her 92 percentile, which is great at that age. And her height, she was at the 87 percentile. So everything's good. We will find out tomorrow what if it's better or how that works. It's kind of wild, though, when you think about it. It's just like comparing, right? Comparing your kid with my, that's how they measure health when they're this age. I think they do it till they're about 3 years old, and then they stop that and just go with the numbers. But right now, it's comparing, and it makes sense, right? Because what do numbers mean if you can't see what the numbers represent? And so you compare it to other babies. And if you're in the high percentile, that's good. Keep doing what you're doing. And if it's low percentile, then, you know, make some adjustments. That kind of measurement of baby's growth and baby's health can also be done to a church. That's right. In other words, there is a picture of a church in Scripture that is a healthy church. And by comparing our church to that church, we can see if we're growing properly and if we're healthy or not. And when I say church, I mean also you and me, because the church is just a group of yous and me's, right? And so how do we know how we're doing? I mean, we're in church. Isn't that a start? Maybe. Maybe not. It depends how we compare. So I thought we would take a break from the Gospel of John just this week and kind of do an assessment. We're heading into summer. Is there some things we can learn? Maybe it's in celebration of my granddaughter's checkup tomorrow that I figure we'd just give a checkup here. Either way, the picture of this healthy church is found in Acts 2. And so we're going to be looking at Acts 2, 42 to 47. I've entitled this morning's message, Church Growth, How to Determine if PCC is Healthy. And indirectly, if you are healthy and I am healthy. So we're going to take a look at this. Now, the picture, the comparison, will take place by looking at a very young church, and I would argue a very healthy church before it got screwed up. And it's people over time that screw things up. So this was a very young church, newborn, if you will, if you're talking about the birth of a church, could probably be called the first church of Jerusalem. Doubt if it was, but it probably could have been called that. Because Jesus is gone. If you remember, the disciples were waiting in the upper room for the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit has come. And if you remember that story prior to Acts 2:42, there was a working of God's Spirit with the people up in the upper room, and it was known as the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came upon them. They started speaking in tongues. This little miraculous stuff was going on. And Peter stood up and started preaching. Organic revival. And the text tells us that 3,000 people came to Christ and were saved that day. Well, this was during Passover. So a lot of people had traveled from outside to come into Jerusalem for Passover festival, which means when it's over, they go home. So a lot of these people that came to Christ with Peter's gospel message, they went home. And that's one way that the gospel spread, is they took it into their homes. Other people couldn't go home. They know they would be rejected because they've turned their back on Judaism, even though they haven't, but it's a fulfillment, actually. But they didn't have the wherewithal to go home. They didn't have the support to go home, so they stayed in Jerusalem. How many people are there? We don't really know. I would say I'm going to guess and say a third stayed, and the other 2,000 scattered back to their homes. But this is the picture. And so church was born. Super organic, super raw, super healthy, and you'll see that it was growing also. So the text tells us in Acts 2:42, and they, we're talking about this church, these Christians, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. So, think about it for a second. This is what's known as the apostolic period. And so what that means is these apostles, these eyewitnesses of Jesus, these followers of Jesus, were doing the work of Jesus. He handed off the baton in Matthew's gospel to them and said, go and make disciples of all nations. Go big. And he's leaving. And so these apostles, by definition, were eyewitnesses of Jesus. They walked with Jesus. And the text says that their signs and wonders were being done through them. Well, before Jesus had left, who were signs and wonders being done through? Jesus, right? I mean, he healed lepers, he healed blind men, he multiplied loaves and fishes, he walked on water, he changed water into wine. The list goes on of these signs and wonders. For what? Why did it happen? To confirm the message of Jesus. Jesus didn't grow up through the ranks of the rabbis. He didn't go to the schools of Gamaliel. He didn't get trained and earn a voice. He was organic. And he was just proclaiming truths of God. Well, why should I believe? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Any nut job can say that. Why should I believe you? Oh, you raised somebody from the dead. Got it. So these signs and wonders were to validate a message that was being proclaimed. Jesus is gone now. The message is still being proclaimed. And so now it's being done through these apostles. That's why it's known as the apostolic period. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a New Testament. Turn in your Bibles like we're doing, 2:42 here this morning. All they were doing was listening. And quite honestly, most of them couldn't read or write anyway. So it was very oral tradition in presenting the good news of Jesus. In fact, after this, if you keep reading in this chapter, you'll see that John and Peter were out proclaiming in the temple area and they got arrested. So they were just out there sharing it, but they were also performing miracles. And so why? To validate the message. Today is not the apostolic period. Why? Because we have God's word. We can turn in our Bibles to the truth of God's word, where God's word tells us it's living, it's active, it can rebuke, correct, encourage, and all those things. Hebrews 2:3 puts it this way, talking about the gospel. It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So it was attested to, it was proven because of these signs and wonders. So this is what was going on. But it begins and says this church was devoted, they devoted themselves to teaching. Devoted means they were committed. They were committed to what? Listening. They were committed to learning. This wasn't just a casual thing. They were interested. They had a hunger for it. They were going, bringing it in. Text also tells us that the apostles' teaching and fellowship into breaking of bread. That's communion. It's a definitive article. The breaking of the bread is actually what it says in the Greek, which means that this is one kind of bread. This isn't a meal. We'll see later that they had meals together. It's a different kind of bread. It's not the bread, it's bread. And so this is the bread. So this means they were taking communion together. And finally, it says that they were praying. We don't know how they were praying. Jews prayed 3 times a day. Were they doing that? Well, probably more than that. Because remember, the apostles are teaching them. And what did Jesus teach the apostles about praying? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right? He gave them a model for prayer of repentance, of reflection, honoring God's glory. We've talked about those things. So might have been the 3 times a day, but it might have been organic. But what we have here is a picture of health. We have a picture of this church, these believers, however many they are, they were devoted to learning, taking communion, and praying. It's a beautiful picture of spiritual growth. And this is how to determine if PCC is healthy. Ask the question and answer the question, are you growing spiritually? Are we growing spiritually? Well, how do I know? Well, we just reviewed three things. Are we devoted to the teaching and application of God's word in our life? Are we praying and seeking God through prayer for his direction, for his understanding, for his wisdom? Are we taking communion together when it is offered, coming to night of worship together and gathering together to worship and take communion? How's your percentile? The weight, the height, how you doing? Okay, well, this is devotion to God's word. This is devotion to prayer and engagement in prayer. And this is also participating in the communion. There it is. Probably one of the trickiest parts of measuring health and how you're doing is maintenance. What do I mean by that? Well, this happens to us physically. Like if you go to the gym or if you have some kind of workout schedule, they'll tell you, the gym people, the healthy people, they'll tell you that if you're doing the same thing day in and day out, that your body will adapt to it and it won't be much help. You gotta mix it up. You gotta do things different because your body will just adapt. And so that's why circuit training is big, because you're going from station to station, you're doing different stuff, you're challenging your body, and it helps it grow. Well, think about a kid, right? My granddaughter, every time I come see her, she's changed. She's not just staying put. She's got two front teeth now, not just the two chompers on the bottom, you know? Now she's starting to balance and walk. She's not just sitting there for the last 3 months, right? That's what growth and health is it's moving, it's changing, it's not stagnant, it's not maintaining. So they'll tell you in a gym, hey, if you're doing 30 minutes of, treadmill, don't just keep doing 30 minutes over. Insert every 2 minutes a sprint and then bring it back down. Have your heart spike and then have it go back down. Or if you're doing heavy weights, don't just do heavy weights. Sometimes do light weights and do reps. It'll work different kinds of fibers and muscles and it'll make you healthy. Some of us spiritually, we may have been doing these three things, but we're doing them the same way and exactly the same approach for decades. And we wonder why we're stagnant. We wonder why we're not really excited about the Lord, because we're not doing anything new. So one way is to step into something new. Now that may be, you may be saying, well, I just don't pray. Okay. Well, then your percentile's low. You're on the 10%. What do we do to jump it up? Pray. Well, I don't know how to pray. Sure you do. Just tell God you don't know how to pray. He'll teach you. You can talk, right? Yeah, I can talk. You can listen, right? Okay, you can pray. What doesn't feel like prayer? Okay, so what? You're still praying. Do it. Pretty basic. Well, it seems like it doesn't make a difference. Okay, well, if we're going to dive into prayer, then let's dive into prayer. If there's some hindrances in the name of you don't think, I'm just giving you a picture of a healthy church. And a healthy church is a praying church. Healthy Christians are praying Christians. Healthy Christians are devoted to the study and application of God's word. Unhealthy Christians don't read their Bible. I'm just going the inverse. Unhealthy Christians don't pray. Remember, we're just comparing here. I was thinking about what are our avenues for spiritual growth here. Well, you're doing one of them, Sunday. Congrats. What else? It's not a trick question. Grow groups, small groups, whatever you want to call them, groups. Why is that? It's different. It's not me chirping at you for a half hour. It's you talking to somebody else and interacting and sharing truths and what that looks like in your life. And we can pray for one another in those situations. So maybe a grow group is the answer for you. What's another way you could be devoted to God's word in the application of God's word? Flip that worksheet over. There's those daily devotions. Oh, remember those things. Night of worship. I've never been to one of those. I'm going to go to one of those. Why? Take communion. Come before the Lord and pray. And worship. That's it. Now you may just say, I do all those. Great. How do you do them? Well, I read my Bible every morning. Okay. Awesome. That's better than not reading it. How do you read it? Oh, I read 5 chapters. Okay. How's that going for you? Not feeling real, motivated. How about you read 2 verses? Do it different. And then how about you ask God to apply those 2 verses to your life and you spend time praying more than you do reading. But you read a little bit, get a nugget, and ask God what that means. That might be different for you. You might be going, no, I do that. Okay, then how about you read 5 chapters and get a picture of God's word from. In other words, don't just keep on the treadmill. Don't just keep lifting the same weights. Mix it up. Well, I have my prayer time every morning. Great. How about you pray all day? How about you don't just go through a list, but you listen more than you talk? Mix it up. If we're just checking a box on Sunday, if we're just going through the motions, no growth, low percentile on health. Look at the next verse, verse 44. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. That's a pretty definitive statement. All. They were together, you'll see that theme, and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belonging and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. They were supporting each other. Remember I told you, some couldn't go back to their house. If they can't go back to their house, they got no money. If they got no money, how do they eat and how do they support themselves? Well, not to worry. There was a community of believers that says, I'll sell this and give you some of it. Wow. Can you imagine? And day by day, attending the temple together, there's that word again, so they were going to church together, and breaking bread, not the bread, breaking bread in their home. So this was having meals together. They received their food, these meals, with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. They were getting along. Again, the purity of this church, but the picture of the relational peace, not just the spiritual peace. They weren't just learning and devoted to Scripture and the apostles' teaching. They weren't just praying. They weren't just taking communion. They were hanging out. They were letting themselves be known. They were building friendships. It's another way to determine if PCC is healthy is, are we growing relationally with one another? Are you making friends, making connections, building relationships? Are you pouring into others, allowing them to pour into you? Or do you attend church like going to the movies? You're in and out in an hour, hour and a half. This is one that took me a while to get, to be honest with you, in my faith. Maybe because I was kind of an introvert. Some people, they make friends instantly. Wasn't so much me. But when I look in Scripture, I see that the Christian life is a team sport. Look at the metaphors used. A flock of sheep. A family of God, a body of Christ, all connected. We need each other for encouragement, for protection, for accountability, for support. And that's very countercultural today. Be your own person, be independent, do your own thing. And so if we go with culture, what's going to happen? We're going to struggle spiritually. We won't be healthy. First Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another and build one another up as you are doing. How do you do that if you don't have relationships? Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. How do you do that if you don't have relationships and aren't connected emotionally? I'll never forget this. And this shows how monumental it was, because it happened to me in fifth grade. That was a long time ago, when you're my age. My babysitter used to live about 8 blocks away from the house. And she approached my mother and said, hey, a new kid has moved in that is Mark's age. It'd be really good if he just came over and introduced himself. I'm in fifth grade. You don't do that. That's just straight up goofy. Hi, I'm Mark, right? I mean, but she, so I did it. I did it. And I'll never forget, I was so nervous. I'm like, oh, this is so awkward. And I went up and I knocked on the door, and probably it was the mom that answered. I can't even remember the kid's name, call him Bill, whatever. I said, hey, is Bill here? Well, yeah. Who are you? I said, oh, I'm Mark. And I just live a few blocks over. And hi. I didn't know what to do. She goes, hold on. And Bill comes to the door and is like, hi, Bill, I'm Mark. And oh, yeah, you know, want to be friends? He had me come in his room, and I remember he's showing me stuff, and I didn't really connect, and I'm like, okay, and so I got through it. And from that time on, me and Bill were not friends. Didn't work. And I started thinking about, why didn't it work? When you think back to when you're a kid, you become friends with people that live right by you, or you have a common interest, right? They're right, they're two doors down, they're three, they're not 8 blocks over. The 8 blocks over person, you may be a friend with if you have a common interest. You're on the same baseball team, you're on the same basketball team, or whatever teams were going on. So it's either a common interest or a location, right? And I think that's why, probably, as adults, we lose the friendship idea and mindset, right? Because we don't really live. And so we transfer to work, and our friends are kind of the people at the work, but not really, because it's not really there, because when you leave the work, you leave them. And so it's this whole thing of, we don't have a lot of friends, we don't have a lot of relationships, and anytime you think of doing that, it feels super awkward, like me going to that house. It's not natural, it's not organic. So here we are as believers, and this, by the way, this is why before you watch the video, say hi to your neighbor. Now that only works if you're sitting in different parts of the auditorium. If you're sitting next to the same person every week, there's no new relationship. And as I look around, I see a lot of you haven't moved in decades. I mean, that's the reality. So one way to kind of mix it up is move to the other side of the auditorium. You may meet somebody new, and you don't have to go to their house, okay? You just say hi. That's the goal. Why do you think we have donuts and, you know, whatever, beverages afterwards? Is that to cut down on your budget for breakfast? No. It's to slow you down before you get to the car, that maybe you'll get past just looking at your donut and coffee, and you go hi to somebody else. You got a common interest, a donut. Right? That's the goal. Why? Because we need each other. And if you noticed, when you're coming in, there was the smell of burgers and hot dogs. And you might have saw a lot of tables out there. You know what those are? Those are common interest connections. They're called connect groups. You got this thing when you came in? This little flyer? It's a list of a bunch of very non-spiritual groups. That's what it looks like. Right? Is pickleball biblical? Some might say it is. I don't know. Ron. But you got stand-up paddleboard, surfing, sailing, all these kind of things. Tap dancing. Well, that's full. No more tap dancers. I'm not sure why that is. Could probably add another day. Or you could start one your own. All that to say, this is getting to the common interest thing. Let's get on the same little league team. Let's get on the same. Let's have something kind of, if you see anything on here that looks somewhat interesting, kind of fun, go out to the table on the patio and just sign up and find out when the first meeting is and see what happens. It's not as hard as going to somebody's house and knocking on the door. It's super easy. The goal is to build relationships. How are you doing on that one? Percentage-wise, compared to the first century church, where they did everything together. They showed it up at each other's homes. They hung out together. They even treated each other so, they were so close. What would it take for you to sell some things that you have and take that money and give it to somebody else? I'll tell you what it would take. It'd take a close relationship. You're not going to do that for somebody you rarely know. Well, you might, because you're unique and that special person. Most people wouldn't. You do it for your family. You do it for your kids. You do it for somebody you're close to. So this highlights the connectedness. So I don't know what that is for you, but one practical way is connect groups. A way to up your percentage. So look it over. We're having burgers and hot dogs and all that stuff just kind of to start the summer. But what a great thing to do to enter into maybe some new relationships this summer as well. So I encourage you, take a step. Practical, super practical. And finally, last part of verse 47, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. I love that. Luke, our writer, basically is giving credit to God for opening the hearts of people and changing lives in people. But the reality is, or for the Lord for adding to the number daily means that people were sharing their faith. People were talking about Jesus. Word was getting out. Yes, God's word is powerful, and the gospel is powerful and transforms hearts and lives, and God ultimately does that work. But for whatever reason, God uses people to get the most important message out, and they were doing it. The Lord added, so I don't know how big the church started out to be, call it 1,000, but it was still growing daily. People were coming to Christ. Wow. So if we're talking about comparison here, they were not shrinking, they were not withdrawing, they were not staying quiet, they weren't privatizing their faith, they were out there. So how to determine if PCC is healthy? Are we growing spiritually? Are we growing relationally? And are we growing God's kingdom? Are we talking about Jesus? Who he is? What he's done? Are you sharing your testimony? How Jesus has worked in your life? The key is Jesus, by the way. Not church. A lot of times we can talk about the church we go to, and you need to come to the church. And so it becomes very church-oriented. And what denomination is that church? Pull back. It's about Jesus. This is a healthy church, but they didn't call themselves a church. They called themselves followers of the way. So, are we doing that? Or are we pulling back? Are we intimidated? If God's kingdom is growing and people are getting saved, that's a healthy sign. Jesus said this to the disciples, the apostles, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. How big? Local communities? Nations. Go big. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think it's been about 8 years may have told you this story, but I'm going to say it again. I was driving down the freeway. I had a car full of people, my wife and my kids and some of their friends. And I'm just driving down the freeway. It's down by San Diego. And a Forerunner / Sequoia, that kind of size car, was in front of me. Like, right in front of me. Like, from me to the fifth row here. Like, 20 feet. And it just went into a spin. I don't know why. It wasn't raining. It wasn't slippery. It just went into a spin. And then it caught and just started going like this, tumbling. Boom. And a lady was in it. And I saw her face. And then just boom. And it was spinning. And then glass everywhere. And it was like, I mean, my whole car was just screaming. Right? It was shocking to watch. And then just upside down. And I remember, like, I gotta pull over. I pulled over, and I was kind of like that, kind of scared to approach the car a little bit. It's upside down. I don't know what I'm gonna see. But I had to do it. And so I got out, and a few other cars stopped by then. And I got down and looked inside, and she was already out. She's out of the car on the other side. Miracle. I thought I was going to see head caved, you know, I thought I was going to see bad. And she was out, and somebody was sitting her down, like a nurse or something. Somebody else was dialing 911. Obviously, she was shocked, but she was seen not fatally injured, or not fatally, but just even injured. I don't know. And then there were about three people that were holding their phones, filming everything. I remember being angry. Like, are you kidding me? You're worried about your brand when this just happened? But I started thinking about how God has called us to help people who are spiritually wrecked, which means without Jesus. To be the spiritual tow trucks, if you will, to be there, to pull over, to be willing to help out. And I wonder how many of us are just doing this. Because that's what it is. We're more worried about our feelings of intimidation. We're more worried about how we come across. We're more worried about if we can or can't answer questions. We're more worried about our brand than we are the person that needs the help. So it was humbling for me. Because I thought, as I'm mad at them, am I just holding and watching? Think about it. You're a Christian here this morning because somebody didn't do this to you, but came alongside you. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Let your light. In other words, don't hide it. Don't privatize. Don't withdraw. Don't be intimidated. Let it go. If we talk about the Lord here today, after church, you're not going to feel intimidated. Why? Because we're safe. We're talking about the Lord. We're interacting about spiritual things. It's when we leave here that all of a sudden, and that pressure hits, and that intimidation. That's why Jesus says, don't do that. Let it out. Let it. Doesn't mean you create it. You just let it. Don't forget, when we talk about the Lord, here's the deal. You're not convincing anybody. That's not your job. You're caring for them. You're not selling anything. you're sharing. But if we think we got to convince them, intimidated, can't do it. If we think we're selling, not persuasive enough, can't do it. But if we're caring and sharing, you can do that. How do I do that? How do I up my percentage in growing God's kingdom? A lot of ways. Invite somebody to church. When was the last time you invited somebody to church? Now maybe you did today and you're here new. All right. Awesome. But think about it. When was the last time you said, hey, well, you come to church, I'll come pick you up. You realize God wants all these empty seats filled? Yeah. Sorry. I was just thinking about it, inviting people to church. It made me think of the stickers on the cars. And invite people to Alpha. We got Alpha going. We got three groups going. They're decently full and a good percentage, not totally, but I would say 25% to 40%, depending on the group, are not believers. That's awesome. Do you remember when I asked you, I said, hey, we're doing Alpha. Can you invite one person? And we said, here, click this link. That's like super easy. It inserts the name and everything. And all you got to do is send it to one person and say, we're doing Alpha. Did you do that? Did you share it on your social media? Did you participate at all? That's an easy way to do it. How about your testimony? Can you share what God has done in your life? Can you talk about who you were before Jesus, how you came to Jesus, and who you are after Jesus? That's what Paul did all the time when he was on trial and everything. Here's who I was, Saul of Tarsus. And I cared about this, and I was into this, and then I'll tell you what happened. Bright light on the way to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And then after that, man, God has changed my heart. Now I'm Paul the Apostle. Those are powerful, to be able to talk about the power of God in your life. Nobody can argue with it either, because it's your personal experience. Just engaging in conversations, asking questions rather than giving answers, being available, being aware. I'm sure you can come up with more. But that's our checkup. How are we doing spiritually? Are we growing? How are we doing relationally? Are we growing? How are we doing growing God's kingdom? Sound familiar? That's our vision statement. If you go on our website, when it says about us, who we are, we exist to encourage everyone to know and follow Jesus by reaching people for Christ, growing followers of Christ, connecting together in Christ. Where did you get that? Right here. Because that's the measuring stick. That's the barometer on how we're doing individually and as a church. So I don't know where your percentages landed up. Maybe there's some low, need to make an adjustment. I would encourage you just make like two changes as a result of this. Maybe one change is get in a connect group, and maybe another change is, I don't know, share your testimony or something. Just two changes to not keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and expect a different result. So Lord, we thank you for this picture of the healthy church, and super exciting to see it, actually. Imagine what that would feel like, and everybody's exciting and rejoicing and just loving on each other. And here we are today down the road, and so many things can get in the way. So Lord, help us to kind of, as we head into our summer, just rethink our faith with you, rethink our walk with you, maybe some adjustments we can make, and ultimately become healthy and grow. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming, and we'll see you next week.